So as we've heard, Jesus is at home, and word has got out. So the place is literally full of people. Not exactly like here today, but wall to wall, standing room only. And he is teaching folks right there in his own home. So can you imagine what people inside the house might have thought when they saw the roof open up and then the man on a mat get lowered down through the ceiling in front of Jesus? I am sure it interrupted whatever Jesus was talking about. Can you imagine? I know we've all heard of people jumping the queue of the healthcare system, but this puts a whole new spin on that idea. Try to imagine it maybe a little like a movie or a dramatic TV show. There are two storylines going on here that come together. First, there's a group of five friends outside this crowded home who are desperate to get in. Four of them are carrying their friend on a mat because he's paralyzed. Their goal is to get inside with their friend so that he can meet Jesus and hopefully Jesus can help him with his paralysis. In the meantime, there's a second drama just starting to go on inside the house. Some of the scribes, the religious lawyers, the sticklers for the law, are sitting inside listening to Jesus. These are the educated, devout religious leaders. And clearly they're interested in what Jesus has to say, because not only are they there in the back, they're not in the back, they're sitting down, which means they got in there in time to find a seat. It suggests that they were among the first to get there. Interesting. But they're not sure what to make of this young rabbi who has a reputation for healing and sharp teaching. As we cut back to the scene outside, to the paralyzed man and his friends, they can't get in the door. They try. They cannot get in. But they're not letting that stop them. So they've climbed up onto the roof, and they're digging through it to get their friend to Jesus. They're not letting anything stand in the way, not the crowd and not even the walls or the roof of the house. They break through the roof and start lowering their friend down. And Jesus looks up. I mean, what else could he do? And he sees their passion, their faith. Not so much of the paralyzed man himself, maybe, but the faith of his friends who are absolutely committed to bringing their friend to see Jesus. They wouldn't let anything stand in their way of their friend's healing. And so Jesus' first words to the paralyzed man are, "Child, your sins are forgiven." Did you notice that? It's not, "Get up and walk." That's not the first thing he said to him. And the word that's often translated forgiven, like in our reading, actually means sent away, tossed out. Maybe even banished. Jesus is banishing whatever guilt or shame he or others might have assigned to this paralyzed man. People had all kinds of judgmental things in those days, as there are today, when people experience misfortune. And that's when the scribes start questioning in their minds, who does this guy think he is to pronounce on someone's sins? That role is reserved for the priests in the temple, the religious establishment. There are procedures for this sort of thing. It's the priests who are the ones who can declare that someone is forgiven. And Jesus is undermining that religious order. And he perceives, he picks up on what they are asking themselves. And he makes his point that brings together both dramas, the drama that started outside and the one that's inside. He tells the man to stand up, pick up his mat, and go home. On this day, Jesus is bringing liberation from two different kinds of paralysis. He shares physical freedom for the paralyzed man, liberation from his disability. And he is also sharing spiritual liberation from the religious paralysis of the institution and its leaders, not to displace or ignore them, but to set people free from the limitations on the healing, liberating power of God. So for those who were excluded and left outside, and for those who are unnecessarily limited and controlled on the inside, Jesus offers both groups liberation and freedom. Christ invites us to be freed of the paralysis of others' judgment and our own shame. Jesus invites us to get up and walk. And he also invites us to be free of the categories and control that separates those on the inside from those on the outside. In fact, he calls us who are on the inside of the religious institution to be free and to experience the liberating power of God at work among us, even when it comes in the form of tearing down a ceiling, a roof. It so happens we're actually getting the roof replaced around here this summer. So it gives us a great chance to think about that story. Whenever you see it, whenever you feel inconvenienced, or just notice as you're driving by, think of this story. Those friends of the paralyzed man refused to let anything stand in the way of their friend meeting Jesus. And that raises an important question for us. What are the barriers that are keeping people in our community from meeting Jesus? The people that were crowded into the house to see Jesus actually got in the way and kept the paralyzed man from getting in to see Jesus. So one question we might ask ourselves is, are we standing in the way just like them? Is there anything about what we're doing and what we say and how we are that gets in the way? Do we prevent people from meeting Jesus, or are we willing to tear open the roof, metaphorically speaking, just to let our friends and neighbors meet Jesus in person, to have an experience of the living, risen Christ? Maybe we need to rip open some metaphorical roofs too. At least we need to ask ourselves, what is keeping people from coming face to face with the liberating, inclusive love of God? So I want to invite you to take a few minutes right now to think and talk about that with each other. I would invite you to find just one or two people that are sitting nearby. Hopefully not the only person you showed up with, but, you know, whoever you can find. But not a big group, you know, just a few of you. And just talk with each other about these questions. What kind of paralysis do we need to be liberated from? What is keeping us from experiencing the healing love of God? What is keeping others from experiencing a liberating encounter with Jesus? In short, what does our paralysis look like, and what might our liberation look like for us today? So, just a few minutes, 4 or 5 minutes. Have a good chat. I'll invite you to wind up your conversation with your last point. Just for now. Is there anything that you're burning to share with others? It's okay if you don't. Well, if you got into a good conversation, I hope you'll continue it after the service, perhaps over coffee. There are many ways that we can help folks, help ourselves, connect with God, connect with divine healing, with love, with liberation. And there are ways that we can hold ourselves and hold others back. How can we share rather than hinder the liberation that God intends for us all? How can we rip open the roofs metaphorically so our friends, our neighbors, our family, our community can see the loving gaze of Jesus and hear his loving word that sets us free? What kind of paralysis do you experience, do each of us experience, that needs healing and liberation? May God bless us as we figure out how to rip open our roof and see Jesus in person. Amen.